What is up, you guys? Welcome back to another episode of Gym Ramble. I'm so excited to be here with you guys. Today was supposed to be the first day that I filmed a podcast episode, but I have been playing around with my camera for the last like an hour and truly could not figure it out. I think I need a couple cords that didn't come with the camera in order to hook it up with the microphone. And I've just been diving into this tech world for the last hour a lot more than I would like to. So I was like, you know what? We're going to put a pin in this. I really just want to get this podcast episode out into the world and then we're going to record it at a later date. But once the recording is a thing and part of this podcast, it's just going to take it to the next level. And I'm just so excited because we're going to clip it up, put it on TikTok, put it on Instagram, and maybe even put it on YouTube. We'll see. But I'm just really excited. And today's topic is going to be all about the real problem that I have with diets that are, quote, too good to be true. And every single day that I'm on my TikTok specifically, because I think I've done a pretty good job of curating my Instagram page to just people that I like in the industry and of course clients and stuff like that. But TikTok is still the Wild West. I feel like TikTok is what Instagram was 6 years ago in terms of the fitness content. And if you implement something like TikTok Shop where people are able to get really, you know, fancy and with the things that they sell and quick plans and fixes and stuff like that, it just creates an environment where people are selling things that are too good to be true. And so we're going to be diving into what some of these things are, some of which I've actually talked to multiple new clients about, things that they've tried in the past before they jumped into one-on-one coaching, and some of my experiences as well, and kind of what has changed over the course of my fitness journey and led me to where I'm at today. So we're going to be getting into all that good stuff right now. The sad reality when it comes to a quick fix is that if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. And I find it so funny how as a society, we have conspiracy theories for literally everything, right? Just the other day, there was a conspiracy theory that I saw and I was just like, what the heck? Like every single thing that happens, every single thing that has to do with the government, every single thing that has to do with a political figure or just a famous person in general, somebody always has a conspiracy theory. But when it comes to something in the fitness space, dieting culture, things like that, that truly just, you know it in your heart that it's too good to be true, people still blindly believe it. And I think it comes from, number one, testimonials, right? If you see a testimonial of someone that's like, wow, like, you know, Optavia or whatever, which if you don't know, is just like a diet where you drink these drinks. I think, I don't even know. We've had some clients who've come from an Optavia background, but it's just like, oh yeah, if I just drink these drinks, I'll lose weight and keep it off. Look at all these people who have lost weight. And it's like, I don't doubt that people have lost weight from barely eating and doing all this cardio. Of course they have. But what are the odds that they've actually kept those results? Okay, probably not very high. But we don't know that. And we are biased when we go into something that we're highly emotional about. And for a lot of people, their fitness journey and how they want to look is highly emotional for them. They're uncomfortable. And I say they, but that was me as well, right? You feel uncomfortable. You feel like you want to lose weight. You feel like you want to tone up. You're just really already searching for an answer. And you feel like, oh, I don't have a lot of time. I don't really want to spend my time trying to figure this whole thing out. I would just rather have somebody tell me what to do, tell me what to eat, tell me what not to eat, and just draw a line in the sand of things that I can and cannot do in order to lose weight as fast as possible, because I'm emotional about this and I want to get there as fast as I can so I can feel better as quick as possible. I understand. But the issue that I have with these diets, and I'm talking about things like Optavia, I'm talking even about things like meal plans where they don't actually tell you, okay, why is this working, right? Like what's in the meals that you're eating? How much are you eating? How do we make balanced meals? How do we sustain this after, you know, the meal plan's over, right? Because if you're on a meal plan for like 8 weeks, okay, great. What happens week 9, right? Same thing with 75 hard. What happens day 76, all right? Same thing for these 5 to 15 minute a day workouts that I've been seeing. I'm like, I'm sorry, you're not going to be able to transform your physique if you're working out 5 minutes a day. Okay. Same thing for these 20 day resets. I just saw one on my TikTok. It was a live of somebody being like, cut out white rice, cut out bread, cut out alcohol for 20 days. And it's just like, what? Like, you are asking for a rebound that is just as harsh as you cutting out all these things. It's just going to be the equal and opposite direction. Okay. These are all things that are rules. And what you have to understand about any sort of transformation, any sort of changes that you make to your nutrition and training, strategy is always going to be more difficult than rules. But the issue that I have with these diets is that they just give you the quote plan on a silver platter, and they don't challenge you. They don't tell you like, hey, here's why this is working, or hey, here's how to fundamentally change your habits and stuff like that. They're not turning you into the type of person who can maintain results once you get them. And that's the main problem that I have with it, is that you are not leveling up. You are just saying, hey, this is me. I have this diet that I'm going to try for 8 weeks. It's going to be a means to an end. I'm going to hate it the whole time. I can't wait until this diet is over and then I can go back to my normal way of eating and living and stuff like that. And that's exactly what's going to happen. And that happened to me. I remember every single Monday I felt guilty. I felt bloated. I felt watery from the weekend, which just sent me into the spiral of trying to hold off on eating during the day as long as possible and doing all this cardio and all that stuff. But every single day that I was eating healthy, barely eating enough, and doing all this cardio, it was just a means to an end. And I felt like an imposter. I didn't feel like this was my default. I didn't feel like I was the person who actually adopted a healthy and fit lifestyle. I just felt like this is what I needed to do to see the scale go down. And I know that I'm somebody who's going to do something all the way, so I'm just going to grind it out. But I didn't actually feel good while I was doing it. I just saw the scale go down because, of course, if you're barely eating, you're going to lose a lot of water weight, especially if you're not eating a lot of carbs. And that's exactly what happened. But I didn't actually learn how to challenge my routine and my habits and my knowledge surrounding nutrition and training. And that's why it never stuck. And I'll even hear this a lot with some people who want to join our team. I'll get on a call with them, and this is part of the reason why I do calls with everybody prior to having them join our team, even if the application looks good, is I want to know, okay, are you just in it for the quick fix, or are you really ready to fundamentally change and be challenged? And I've had people who are like, hey, I want to do this, but only if you give me a meal plan. Like, I'm not interested in learning how to track. I'm not interested in having you dive into my routines. Like, I really just want a list of foods that I can and cannot eat and a meal plan, and I want to be good to go. And I'm like, we can absolutely help you decide what meals are going to work for you day in and day out. And you can create a meal plan based on the targets that we give you, based on what we teach you around nutrition. But you are not getting out of the educational component of this. You are not getting out of the empowerment that comes with really understanding how to strategize and utilize nutrition in a way that's conducive to your lifestyle. You're not getting out of learning the why, because the why is what's going to empower you to be able to make the healthy lifestyle your default. Okay. And that's what those fad diets are missing. They are not fundamentally changing you into who you need to become in order to maintain this healthy and fit lifestyle. I have another example for you guys on this, because I don't know if you've seen any of the videos or news articles about people who literally win the lottery. There are people who win the lottery and then they go broke after a few years because they have a poor relationship with money. They don't know how to handle it once they get it. They have never fundamentally shifted their mindset surrounding money. So even when they get it, they go back to their quote, normal way of living, which is being broke or being, you know, not rich. So that is the same thing with health and fitness. If you do a fad diet and you want to lose 30 pounds and you lose those 30 pounds doing something super restrictive, you're not going to know how to maintain those results because you're not the type of person yet who knows how to maintain those results. You don't have the habits, you don't have the routine, you don't have the knowledge, and that's not a knock to you. It's something that everybody has to go through in order to be able to maintain those results. And that's part of the reason why if you're doing something consistently and sustainably, it's probably gonna take longer than if you were to just do a quick fix, because it is always more time consuming and honestly more difficult to challenge things like your habits, your morning routine, and how you view food, how you build balanced meals, how you handle social situations, how you grocery shop, right? And these are all really tied back to months and years in the making, right? A lot of people's relationships with food and how they view meals and how they view fueling themselves and how they view movement, it ties back to childhood. It ties back to how you ate dinner as a kid and your parents' relationship with food and exercise. Honestly, that's really where it derives from. And then how you ate in high school, how you ate in college, all of these things play into how you view these things today. And you can absolutely change fundamentally how you view these things, but it's gonna take time. And you can't just say, oh, well, I'm somebody who likes to do something all the way, so I'm just gonna get to my goal weight and then I'm just gonna figure out how to maintain progress once I get it. No, you won't, because you are not the person who is able to maintain results yet. Okay, so you gotta be willing to take the small steps that are gonna lead you to taking longer strides in the future, because the foundation is the most important. And that's exactly why. And that's also why some people get frustrated if they hire a coach or if they do something with sustainability in mind and they're like, oh, wait, I actually still have to work here. I have to be challenged. This isn't going to be like a fad diet in the past. I have to think for myself in these situations. Like, I have to really think about, okay, how do I approach this situation? How do I hit my macros? And of course, a coach is going to help you with that, but a good coach is not going to give you the answers just straight out of the gate for that reason, right? Of course, we have example meal ideas. We have example full days of eating even. I can help write clients up an example meal plan, but you best believe it's going to be met with, hey, here's how I got to this place, so that you can see the thought process that went into this, that went into the decision making, so you can feel empowered to make your own decision. And it doesn't just go with nutrition, it goes with training as well, right? At the end of the day, even if you have an online coach, it's just you. It's just you at the end of the day that's going to decide to get up and finish your steps or stay inside and watch TV. Like, nobody is coming to do the work for you. And if you think that you're magically just going to have all these habits in place because you did a fad diet for a few weeks and then all of a sudden you're who you need to become in order to maintain that progress, you are absolutely wrong. And I promise you, it will save you so much time in the long run and headache. And honestly, just self-confidence, you'll get more confident if you do the sustainable thing from the beginning. And if you are working with a coach now, it could be us, it could be somebody else, and you are like, man, I'm a month in, I'm 6 weeks in, I'm seeing some changes, but I feel like this is not as fast as what I'm used to with doing keto, with doing paleo, with doing a meal plan, with doing 1200 calories. Yeah, it's not supposed to be, because we are changing fundamentally who you need to be in order to succeed long term. Like, that is coming. The snowball effect is so real. But I'm saying this as somebody who is 8 years into this, doing things the right way. I struggled for so long with this because I know I'm a high achiever. I know if I do something, I'm going to do it all the way. If I set my mind to something, I'm going to do it all the way. But what that led me to was a lot of rules-based dieting, was a lot of short-term quick fix dieting, because it's so much easier to have a list of foods that you can't eat and say, oh, I'm going to cut all this out for 30 days. Great. It's so much easier to do that than it is to have somebody tell you like, hey, like, we're going to adjust some habits. Like, we're going to start, you know, making balanced meals, and then we'll start to track your food. And then maybe you need to reverse diet first. Like, yawn, right? Especially if you're somebody who likes the challenge of doing something really quick and seeing really quick results. That on the surface can seem boring. And I've had people who are like, I honestly feel like I could do this quicker myself. I feel like I don't need to do, you know, a reverse diet if there's somebody who is maintaining on lower food. And it's like, nobody needs to reverse diet. Like, nobody needs to do this. Like, anybody can eat less food than they are currently and move more and lose weight. But at what cost? At what cost? At the cost of your relationship with food, at the cost of your social life, at the cost of your energy levels, your muscle mass, your ability to maintain progress once the cut is over. Like, all of these things we don't want to admit and address until it happens to us, until you're like, oh crap, I gained the 30 pounds back, or oh wow, I actually don't know anything about nutrition or how to fuel myself outside of the fence of what's allowed on this diet, right? So that is really my biggest problem that I have with these diets that are too good to be true, is it's not that it's too good to be true in the fact that you're not going to lose the weight, because again, if your goal is fat loss, you can slash calories and do cardio and absolutely you're going to see fat loss happen. But it's too good to be true because you fundamentally need to level up and you need to make these lifestyle changes your default in order to maintain progress. So I made a little running list to close out this episode. This is a shorter episode, but to close this out, here are some things that I have fundamentally changed and noticed about myself since making this, you know, the default lifestyle that I create. Okay. Number one is I am a morning person. I used to be the one to stay up late, doom scrolling, and then wake up late. And part of the reason why I wanted to wake up late was because I was trying to hold off on eating as long as possible because I didn't, quote, allow myself a lot of food for the day. So I was just really low energy. I was sleeping in a lot. I didn't really jump the gun and feel good about, you know, waking up and tackling the day. It was really just a snooze fest like the entire morning. But now I'm a morning person. I love getting up. I have just such a zest for getting up, getting outside, feeling the sun on my skin, getting steps in. Like, it just rejuvenates me. And I think that what used to rejuvenate me long before this lifestyle change was just a lot of external validation, a lot of hanging out with people who didn't really serve me, right? I was just kind of seeking their validation and just kind of going out and stuff like that. And none of that is bad. But again, that was my main source of like, oh yes, I can't wait to do this, right? And now I still go out. I went out on Friday, right? Like, I still go out. I still have fun. I still love all of these things and the people who I get to spend time with. But I love being alone because I know that if I'm alone, especially in the morning, in my thoughts, listening to a podcast, getting outside, getting steps in, getting workouts in, I'm feeling good because I'm so confident in my ability to show up for myself. And so I'm comfortable alone. I love taking action. And that's really the biggest thing that I have seen is my comfortability alone and my love for just going outside and moving, and especially being awake in the morning. I just feel less lazy overall. That's something that I wrote down as well. Another one is I can see the correlation with increased movement and decreased anxiety. I'm not going to sit here and say that working out is therapy. I think going to therapy is very important. But I can tell that if I don't work out for a few days, I get very anxious. And even if I eat things that are kind of out of my norm, I get anxious. And the anxiety is not from, oh, I need to hit my macros, like I'm anxious if I don't track. No. It's truly like I can see and feel what the food is like doing to me. And so that's kind of how I know that this lifestyle is my default. Like, it's not hard for me to work out. It's not hard for me to eat the meals that I like to eat, whether or not I'm tracking. And that's how I know. It's because that is the default. But I'm also not sitting here and saying, oh, these are rules for myself. I can't eat this. I can't eat that. I absolutely can. I absolutely can go out for ice cream. I absolutely can get a glass of wine and pasta, right? But what is your default? That is what I want you to ask yourself. Another one here is, I have no issues hitting my protein, even when I'm not tracking. Again, I have hit my protein consistently for so long that it's not even a question. And I can tell when my body is craving protein, or it just needs a meal that has that satiating element in it. And I just know that even without tracking, because that is my default. Another one is, I know how to have fun and drink at times, but I still choose drinks that won't make me feel like trash. Just naturally, I'm able to know my limits more. I feel like I have a gauge on myself, and I am so much more hyper aware of, like, okay, I need more sleep, or okay, I'm only gonna have like one drink tonight, or okay, I'm feeling this way, or my body needs this, or what have you. I feel like it's just being much more in tune with yourself. That's kind of a benefit of adopting this lifestyle and kind of living this way. And again, you don't get any of this by living with the fad diets and trying that on and off. In fact, you're probably going to be more out of touch with your body, with its hunger cues, with your digestion, with your energy levels, if you're trying to do those things on and off all of the time. It's going to leave you just feeling like, what is even going on? Another one is, I no longer feel like a busy schedule or not liking to cook is holding me back. I used to tell myself that all the time, and it's part of the reason why I pushed off this lifestyle change for a while, is because I was in college, like, I was going out to eat a lot. I thought that I couldn't cook, or I was really busy. And so that kind of held me back from really facing the reality of, like, hey, you know what? I can be more optimal with the things that I'm doing, with how I'm spending my time, with how I'm eating, with my routine. But I just didn't want to face that. So it took me a really long time. I was stuck in the yo-yo dieting cycles for longer than I needed to be. But of course, I finally got out of it. And then even today, if I have a period where it's like, hey, I'm not going to have a kitchen, or I'm have to go out to eat all the time, or I have an incredibly busy schedule, like, I've been through it all and I've gotten through it all. And so I don't feel this overwhelm of, hey, if things aren't perfect, how am I going to progress? Because I know what makes me feel good, and I can kind of maneuver those decisions because I've been doing this for quite some time at this point. And so if you are kind of starting your fitness journey and you're scared about what's to come, you're scared about, like, oh, what if I go on a vacation? What if I do this? And in the past, that's kind of stopped me in my tracks and I've had to start over. Enjoy the fact that there is no more starting over. It's just you continuing to face these challenges, understand how to maneuver them, and then you feel more confident the next time around. And then lastly, the last thing that I've experienced is, I've cared about my goals long enough to where it's the default to take action. And that is the main reason why I love when people invest in themselves, because that is truly you saying, hey, you know what? I'm choosing to level up. I'm choosing to take the first step in becoming who I need to be in order to make sustainable change and keep the progress, right? Because once it's not just you, once you hire a coach or somebody to help you really stay true to what it is that you need to do, it does make all the difference. And I'm just speaking to this because when I hired my first coach, that's when everything changed. And that's what inspired me to start coaching years later, because I saw that fundamental shift within myself that was way different than any of the other diets or anything that I've tried in the past, right? And I've just cared about my goals long enough. My goals have changed, right? Sometimes it's a growing phase. Sometimes it's a cut. Sometimes it's maintenance. Sometimes it's tracking. Sometimes it's not. But it's this default that I maintain because I know that it makes me feel good. Whereas in the past, when I would slash my calories and do a bunch of cardio, I didn't even feel good when I was doing what I was supposed to be doing, right? Like, it was kind of like, oh my gosh, like my energy's low. I feel like trash. Yeah, the scale's going down, but like, oh my gosh, I don't even have energy to work out, right? And now it's like, okay, yes, I feel good. I feel in alignment. The decisions that I'm making make me feel good. Am I perfect all the time? Absolutely not, right? But it comes back to, where's your default? Where's your homeostasis? How are you showing up more often than not, right? And so I urge you to not only think about, what do I need to do in order to see progress, but who do I need to become? How do I need to level up? How do I fundamentally need to be challenged so that I become the person that I need to be in order to be empowered, in order to keep my progress once I make it and continue down the path of bettering myself and showing up for myself in and out of the gym. All right. So that is what I have for you guys this week. I hope you enjoyed it. And as always, thank you for listening. I will go ahead and see you guys next week.